said.
Don't believe what I just saw!
I'm a man! I'm 40!
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No,
I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an addict.
Sportsaholics, I gotta.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral.
Okay.
Get a virgin. Get a virgin. The plain land. The plain land. The plain land. The plain land. Plain where me come from and never find them. And going to America, say not England. On that plane, I book a whole heap of man. But some a white man, mister, some a black man. Some a rich man, mister, some a poor man. Them a eat ham, they must a drink sham. As the plane land, me check the immigration. Bag over me shoulder, suitcase in my hand. Virgin they come meet me, now they want skeng man. Car wagon drives, a man a must a move it. They must a tell them a country woman. The little dirty clothes in and you want to.
It is that time of the week again. This is Sportsaholics episode number 141. Just like that, we are almost to the, is it the sesquicentennial? Is that the 150th?
150. This, yeah, I never can say that. I say that I can. I see it on the. I see it on the California license plate. The sesquicentennial. It's 150 years, but no one says it with any comfort.
For me, it's more. It always reminds me of the Waiting for Guffman, because Christopher Guest has got them in Blaine, Missouri. For the sesquicentennial of Blaine, Missouri, and that's the plot of Waiting for Guffman. There you go, guys. So, episode 141. I'm gonna settle on the Dirk Nowitzki.
That's a good one. Remember that time where we rooted for a German to beat American sweetheart LeBron James? All of America was like rooting against LeBron James, who had just joined the super team Miami Heat.
What year was that? 2012,
but it was like 12, I think. It was like 6 seasons ago, because like this is the whole thing where like LeBron has gone to the finals in the past 6 seasons in a row.
I think it was 2012, if I'm not mistaken. I remember that year. I used to be a chef at fraternities at UCLA, right? And so the guy, I get a text message, or one of the guys in the fraternities worked in Miami at a club. And this kid runs in the next morning after the Cleveland had won the first, Miami had won the first game, huge. They blew him out.
Right.
And they went out to celebrate that night. So this kid runs in, he goes, dude, check out this. My buddy works at the club in Miami. Look at this bar tab. It was for like $180,000.
Whoa.
And it was, I mean, two cases of Red Bull, each Red Bull $18 a piece. You know, it was like Miami club.
I'm just saying, you started with 180, and I was like, I really thought you were about to say 180. And I was like, what are you talking about, $180? Like that, and then it was like $180,000.
It was ridiculous. And so 2011 was when the Mavs won.
Sure.
So he goes, look at this. And it was like this crazy, incredible receipt. And then sure enough, you know, they had gotten a little bit cocky. And then they end up, you know, the Cavs come back. And it kind of helps Dirk solidify.
The Mavs came back, not the Cavs.
The Mavs came back. And then I'm not sure if it went 7 games or not. Point being, Dirk's a Hall of Famer. That helped. And it's the Mavs. The Mavs, for any of you guys listening that are like teenagers, early 20s, I mean, if you go back to the history books there, Mavs were horrible. I mean, just awful for their entire... Were they an expansion team in the 70s or the 80s? Really? See, I don't even know. Like, that's how bad they were, because they could have been... Because it was the Heat and Magic. They had the two Florida teams.
Yeah, that's one of those things. Like, cause it's,
did they come in with the Timberwolves in 87?
No. The Mavs, I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, look
it's
it
like, up. Because for a second I was like, because they're not one of the ABA teams. That's the Pacers and the Spurs.
And yeah, the Spurs and the Pacers. But the reason I love Dirk is because as a white guy growing up, and you anytime I would make jump shots, you would get... You know, Larry Bird in the corner, warming up. Larry Bird's warming up in the corner.
Yeah.
So just in the last 6 or 7 years, though, it's now, oh, don't let Dirk's loose in the corner. Oh, Dirk's open in the corner. So I've watched the evolution of white basketball reference go from Larry Bird to suddenly now transitioning into Dirk Nowitzki. Is how good, I guess, Dirk is, if you want to put it in street basketball terminology. And he kind of, I don't, not that there's like a bunch of great German basketball players, but I always like the fact it's like, oh, okay, here's this German guy. He came over when he was 19. You know, just, he was like over in Europe, if you're good as an 18 or 15 year old, you don't, there's no high school. You immediately go to pro basketball and you kind of play in their under, like B, double B, A, and you work your way up. So as a 14 year old, he was already playing at the lowest professional ranks in Germany and then just got better and stronger. And then shit, now he's the NBA champion. He's probably going to be done here in a couple of years too. That's what's crazy, isn't it? You know, he's coming up on, I think, year 17, 18.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so the Dallas Mavericks, Cheese, came into the league in 1980 as an expansion franchise. They weirdly have connections. It's like, and they were going to come in with a team in Minneapolis who then backed out. So there was only one team that came in. And
so the T-Wolves didn't come back. The T-Wolves must have been an expansion team in like maybe 87. Will you look that up real fast?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. The T-Wolves came in.
Because
they like Christian was, Leitner was like their first.
No, because Leitner came in like 93, 90. Yeah, maybe it was early 90s, but I know that the Magic and the Heat came in
that is,
in
88, that is correct.
89. And that just refreshed my memory from that Shaq and Penny documentary that just recently came out. But yeah, but the point being, if you had a green and blue jersey, which the Mavericks and the T-Wolves both did in my youth, it just meant you were horrible. And they tried. I mean, they drafted Jason Kidd. They had Jackson. Gosh, I can't think.
You're right. 89 to the present.
They had Jamal Mashburn. They had some decent squads in the 90s, and then just they got lucky and they got that Steve Nash. Don't forget Steve Nash, 2-time NBA MVP. Give Steve Nash credit. I feel like there's a lot of Steve Nash in Steph Curry's game. Watch tape and you'll agree with that. But
four expansion teams came in at the same. It's the Heat, the Magic, the Charlotte Hornets.
Oh, the Hornets. I forgot. Wait, hold on.
It's the original Charlotte Hornets that now are now the Pelicans.
Yep, and then they came back as the Bobcats. Now they're the Hornets again. And then
right. But that was also because I'm telling you, when I was looking at the Mavs, there were some interesting things about the Buffalo Braves went to San Diego to become the Clippers.
Right.
But also, you know, one of the guys who was like the president of the Boston Braves were like, you know, he was part of like, hey, I want to bring the NBA to Dallas. And then also like Dallas did have an ABA franchise, the Dallas Chaparrals, who went on to become the San Antonio Spurs. Like, because that was a lot of like,
the while they were Chaparral. I don't even know what that is.
A chaparral is one of those like, it's, you know, like
something to do with Texas and
yeah, herding. Yeah, no, it's like a chaparral is like, it's a plant, or now I have to look that up. It's okay. Like a plant or a cactus. It's like, you know, that's.
And listeners, let's not forget that if you go back 2 months or so, whenever I was down in San Diego and our Don Carlos had his Charger buyback jersey thing, I ran into this old couple. They were in their 70s and 80s, and they'd come in to donate all their Charger gear for free food, and it went to homeless. Yeah. It was a great cause. But I didn't even realize this. She goes, the lady, she was, you know, probably in her mid, late 70s, early 80s. She goes, all of our teams leave. She's like, we lost the Rockets. And I was like, what are you talking about? The Houston Rockets were in San Diego in the late 60s for 2 or 3 years before they moved to Houston. And I was like, I had no idea.
Right, because also we did look that up, because that was like, it was like they did a year. Because there was a weird thing, because it was like, you're like the Rockets, it fits Houston so well.
But with the Navy and the aeronautical and stuff San Diego, it worked out
well. A chaparral is a shrubland or heartland, shrubland or heathland plant community found primarily in the United States. It is shaped by Mediterranean climate. It's basically plants that can. It's like the desert plant. You know what I'm saying?
Succulent plant. It's like you're the Dallas succulents.
The cacti. Yeah, right.
The saguaros. If you're going to Arizona
Fall League. Oh, now you're talking. Are you talking Arizona Fall League baseball?
I am. Dude, I'm excited. Look, listeners, Eric and I. I guess we, you know, let's do some plugs. We'll wrap up the first quarter here. So we're both in Kansas City. This is Eric's first time to Kansas City. We're going to talk about it in quarter two. Stanford and Sons. This episode comes out on Tuesday. We fly in Wednesday night. We're setting up an interview with Bob Kendricks from the Negro Leagues Museum to get a face-to-face interview with him. We've had him on the show previously. It's always been over phone. So I'm actually excited to you know, follow Eric through the museum. The museum I've walked through a few times already, but get some of his insight and some of his first impressions and learn a lot about the game. And then afterwards, talk with Bob on the phone or face-to-face interview there. But
I'll tell you, the one of the things I'm going to want to talk about with him personally is there was a One of the teams in the Negro Leagues is the Indianapolis Clowns. The Indianapolis Clowns, and they had a they had a female second baseman. Like, that's part of their history, is that they have, like, a female second baseman. And I've always sort of thought, like, you know, because I'm not necessarily, like, I played with girls, you know, girls played baseball in my, you know, in New Hampshire. And I always thought, like, I always thought that girls, women, get sort of a rough deal on the whole baseballs for boys and softballs for girls. Because I know lots of women that would really prefer to play baseball.
Well, and softball, too, softball boomed, like, at World War II. Like, my grandfather, in the 50s and 60s, my dad said, like, yeah, growing up, grandpa was always in softball leagues. And there were softball leagues everywhere. Right. And it was, you know, baseball was America's sport. And there wasn't, basketball didn't really come around. Some people played football, but not that many. I mean, for obvious reasons, you're wearing leather helmets. And it's probably medicine wasn't really up to par back then. So as these guys came back from the war and they're suddenly in their mid late 20s, they still love the game, and you know, now it's just a bigger ball, but it was very, very, very competitive. Wood bats and but my dad said they would go to this place called Bivac in Independence, Missouri. It was dug out down in this valley, and they would go down there, and I remember it as a kid going one time, but it just lit up Field of Dream style with the trees that run all the way up to the field, so if you hit a home run it might bounce off a tree and land back into, you know, into play, kind of a thing. But, you know, it's just a real popular sport. And I don't know when that kind of became women's baseball.
Right.
I don't know if it was a Title IX thing or, you know, something in the 70s where they were.
Well, I do know that's one of those things that, like, I will actually say, a girl I went to played baseball in Little League, Lisa Prenevo, was a very good baseball player. But when she got to high school, she was basically told she was not allowed to go out for the boys' baseball team, and was also told that it was, like, because women are offered softball, that's what she could play. It's like she wasn't, you know, it's like in a weird way, like it's a weird exception or loophole to Title IX where they don't have to offer every sport. You know,
they're like, you have the same amount to pick as the guys
do. But I've always sort of thought, like, so I'm really curious to learn about this female baseball player who played second base for the Indianapolis Clowns, because I've always sort of felt that, you know, like a Cheryl Swoops could have played, like, shooting guard. I believe, like, there are positions that, you know, that I believe that there are definitely certain female athletes that could play with the men. You know,
yeah, Cheryl Miller, definitely. Right. I mean, that's like if you grew up in the, you know, if you remember basketball in the 80s and early 90s, it was always like, Reggie Miller's great, but you should have seen his sister, Cheryl.
Cheryl's like better than Reggie.
Right. And that was just, everyone kind of accepted that. And that was kind of always the ribbing that Reggie Miller got.
Who also looks like a Ferengi. He happens to look like a Ferengi from Star Trek.
And they would taunt him with his sister's name in New York.
Right.
But anyway, guys, to come full circle, back to the promo and all that good stuff.
So Wednesday night, where will we be? Hold on,
We're going to be in Kansas City. Guys, Eric will be doing a guest spot at the Red Front. And don't even worry about that, actually. So Wednesday night, we're going to get in. So Thursday afternoon, we're going to do some radio.
Right.
You're going to come along with me. I'm trying to get you to jump on the TV stuff with me, too. Just so you can have fun, and just, it'll be better for me.
Sure.
I'll enjoy it more if you're there.
Yeah.
And then midday afternoon, either Thursday or Friday, we'll go do the interview with Bob at the museum. And then listeners, tweet at us. I'm going to take him down to the original Arthur Bryant's. I know half of you in Kansas City hate it. They're like, go to Oklahoma Joe's, but it's like, Oklahoma Joe's is fine. My theory is if the barbecue place is open in Kansas City, it's a good place because there's so much competition.
The Oklahoma Joe's, is that the one that's in a gas station?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's been on a bunch of diners. Right.
I've seen, the one thing I know is these things appear on travel and food channel.
But the shows, listeners, Thursday night, 8 o'clock, two shows Friday and two shows on Saturday. And the Friday and Saturday shows are 7:45 and 9:45 or 10 o'clock, the second show. And this is out at the Legends at Stanford's. They had moved out to Overland Park, South Kansas City, and then now they moved back out to, it's called the Legends. They have the NASCAR track. The soccer team has their sporting stadium there. And it's actually a sweet club. You'll see. They've got like a 15-foot catwalk. You're going to love it just because you like to jit around and move on stage.
I do. I'm better when I move.
But it's a straight 15-foot catwalk right out into the middle of the.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Like, imagine the main room. If the main room stage was only 5 feet wide and went straight out that far.
It's like an old strip club or something? Like no, it was
a, it's a brand new, like, well, not 10-year-old facility. I don't know. They just went with that and it worked. So at some point, you'll be doing jokes and you'll look behind you and there's people behind you laughing. And you're like, oh, hey, I forgot about you guys back there. What's up? So again, that's Thursday night, 2 Friday, 2 Saturday. Guys, hit us up. We do have a guest list. I'm not going to say, you know, so if you want to come, just hit us up. We will, you know, we make sure you can get in some tickets, and then, you know, the more the merrier. And so, and then also real quick, guys, if you need any shirts printed up, which you know you do, because you got softball, you got basketball leagues coming up, you got a family reunion coming up, whatever you need a bunch of shirts for, go to unionpresskc.com. That's unionpresskc.com. They got really cheap prices. They work really fast and they ship right to your door, usually within a week, 10 days, something like that. It's a really quick turnaround. And if you're in Southern California, where are you going to eat, Eric?
What, it's a, oh, I'm going to eat at Don Carlos.
That's where I'm going to eat. It's my favorite Mexican food in Southern California.
La Jolla, California. Yep. Kitty corner or catty corner from the
world-famous comedy store. La Jolla Comedy Store down there. So, guys, and that's at Eat a Burrito on Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff. But that's Don Carlos Taco Shop on Pearl Street. So if you're in La Jolla, Pacific Beach, San Diego area, by all means, swing by. Say, hey, you know, we talked about it on Sportsaholics. They said something about a Trevino burrito. You know, have yourself a good time. All right, guys, we'll be back right after this.
Have a Smith and Forge hard cider. It's made strong.
Now, those is that like their that's their standard issue hard cider, or are they different flavored ciders?
I think this is their normal. This is the normal.
This would be an unofficial sponsor. What?
No, it's something I'm drinking right now. Just you know, it's like, guys, hard cider is gluten free. It's gluten free. It's free
checking
of gluten.
It out. I'm curious what the alcohol content.
I'm gonna say 6.
You nailed it. 6. That's not bad.
I can taste the 6. 6%.
Not quite malty, but getting there.
All right, geez. So what's on? What are we talking about? Second quarter. What are we doing?
Well, I did a lot of traveling this week. I saw my first two baseball games of the season. I was up in, first of all, guys, thank you at the Angel of the Winds Casino up in Arlington, Washington. It was actually a great time.
Angel
had a great show.
Yeah, how was that?
It was fun. I ended up working with Nasser, of all people.
Josh Nasser.
Yeah. Right. And so it was good, which he intimidates the rural Washington folk a little bit. But we had a great time. And
well, he's very multi. Well, I mean, what do you call it? Metrosexual. He's very metrosexual.
Metro-y is a good. Metro-y.
He's very metro-y.
Yeah. It was good. And then I actually ended up winning like $110 playing blackjack. So that was a nice little random bonus. And I got up with while I was ahead.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? This is.
Because that's actually one of the tricks sucks, is when you play a casino.
When you're gigging at a casino.
When you're gigging at a casino, like, they'll give you your check, but then you have to cash it. I did Vancouver, Washington up on one of those triple runs years ago. And it's like, with the check, you go, oh, you can cash this check at the cage. It's like, yeah, I have to walk through your casino and cash my check that you just gave, that I had to drive 24 hours to get here for. And now. Oh, I'm gonna have cash money walking back out to your casino. It's a trap, man. They're trying to Roach Motel your cash. That they
and these aren't
you.
These aren't. I mean, they're not. Depending on the casino, these aren't retirement checks either, and so you can cut into them pretty quickly. You know,
it's gone, and then you're in the hole.
And then you're in Vancouver, Washington, across the river from border or from Portland. Yeah. Like, damn, man, this is going to be a real lean next couple of few days before our next gig. Now, how would you guys go on the tribbles? Was it back to back nights, or was there a lot of off night then go off night?
No. When I went, because I actually and someone had can- I was doing a week and someone had canceled, so I ended up doing back to back weeks.
That's kind of nice since you're already kind of up there.
Right. And it was like, and it was nice because the headliner was the same for both weeks. And then it was just about, you had to, so I had every night, but the weird thing was, it's like, you had to drive up. It was like the first gig was in Idaho. I remember I had to go over the Snake River Gorge, right.
Beautiful.
Right. You're doing a bunch of Red Lion Inns. Like you're doing a bunch of Red Lion Inns in Washington, Oregon, and Idaho. But there was some weird thing, like, if you had, like, so it was the first night was Idaho, which was like a 22-hour drive. It happened during the, it was, remember when Eric Gagne was like a perfect reliever for the Dodgers?
Yeah, but Cy Young season.
But he actually blows the save in the All-Star game.
That's right. I do remember that.
That's the game. Like, I'm leaving town and that's what's on. And I also got late. It's like, you know that you're going to have to be in the car for 20 to 24 hours and you get trapped in like 3 p.m., 4 p.m. Traffic getting out of L.A. So you're like, just starting there, you're like, fuck, I've just added an hour to this whole 22, 23-hour trip.
2003 Cy Young Award.
Right, that's when it was. I went up in there in 2003.
So that was the summer that I was out here just hanging with Ingram. Right. I hadn't even moved out here. That was the summer, listeners, I met Eric. That was this summer, 2003.
Right.
Because I remember vividly the I will suck a row of dicks for the Red Sox World
Series.
That's
right, and I have sucked that row of dicks, yep. People. I'm not afraid to say that. I come through on my things.
And so that was 2003, you're heading up to the treble room.
So it was like, so then it's like, so you have to go to Idaho, and then you have to like, God, I don't know if the next stop was in Washington or Oregon, but I will guarantee you that every single night after that, it was like, if you were in Oregon, the next gig was in Washington. And if you were in Washington, it was like, I went from Idaho to Ellensburg, Washington, which is some weird middle of Washington. You guys, if you don't realize,
I'm probably doing that, like, a show
Ellensburg,
somewhere
Washington,
close.
And I want to say there's some college up there that they have, like, they do some sort of, they have chimps or monkeys or something that they test on. And Ellensburg, Washington, middle of nowhere. And then you have to, the next gig is in Oregon. And by the way, you can't pump your own gas in Oregon. So when you cross the
border. Dude, I just put Idaho to Ellensburg, Washington, yeah. And that's 11 out. And
in the middle of the state. What you do is you do a gig.
Oh, this is in the middle of the state. It's north of Yakima, east of Seattle,
right.
3 hours.
So you're like, and so I'm telling you, it's like every day you do a gig in the town you were in. You sleep the night at the, you know, you're usually doing these Red Lion Inns. So you sleep the night, and then you would basically get up, get in your car, and you drive to the next gig. And it would take you 8 to 11 hours to get to the other state. Then so it was like, I don't know, I did Medford, Oregon. And then I did something up the coast of Washington. And then you went back to Klamath Falls and back to Washington.
Damn, so you logged like thousands.
Every day you were in another state. And you had, it was like, you know, and then it's weird where you do Klamath Falls like twice in 2 weeks, and it's a different gig. But the other thing is you had the weekend off. The weekends, you didn't have.
You're like, how do I not have gigs on the weekends?
Right.
But
that's when I went up to. I went up to Seattle to play the Comedy Underground, get a little time. I ended up bumping into an open micer that I knew from L.A., and that worked out perfectly because of all things. I did not get my ATM card out of a B of A. I didn't retrieve. I forgot my ATM card in a B of A ATM at a bank. So all of a sudden, I'm about to leave.
So it keeps it.
Like I didn't take it, and so it ate it again. I mean, I just didn't.
You just walked off.
And I right.
Is
and
there
I
a security thing? They're like,
right.
You just keep. The
and
card.
So then I'm like, now I'm. By the way, I was. So now this was. I'm in the middle. I'm in Seattle. It's the summer of 2003. I have another week on the road, and I was about to leave town. I don't have an ATM card, which also means like I don't have a way to get buy more gas. I have no access to my thing. Fortunately, this one person I knew who I just run into on the street, and we were both going to do the Comedy Underground that night. He had a hotel room. He let me crash in his place, And the next morning, I like went and I picked up the ATM because you can go into the bank and they'll give you your ATM. And I was back on the road and like, you know, crisis averted. But I'm really sort of hoping, you know, as we go to, I like to call it the cheese land of Kansas City. I'm looking forward to it, guys. I want to see your ways and your, I want to see your ways and your Royals World Series trophies and all that, all these stuff.
See, I'm going to be back in. So the Washington was sweet because they're the Mariners fans, man. They're so what happened was it was last Wednesday. It was Ichiro's back for maybe his final for his final thing. So the gigs are Wednesday night, Thursday night. It was actually perfect. I was in and out two shows. Got a shitload of stage time and got my money and left. So I look, I notice Ichiro's back and I said, you know, let me get the early flight. I leave LAX at 6:30. So I'm at the airport at 4:45, quarter to five. Plane lands. Seattle's the shit because their public transportation is incredible. Got on the train. Eight stops later, I'm getting off at Safeco.
Yep.
The gates open at 12. Game starts, first pitch, 12:40. They normally don't open their gates 2 hours, but it's Ichiro bobblehead. So they're 2.5 hours early. So I'm there 3 hours before the game's even starting first pitch. There's already, I took a picture of it. It's up on our Sportsaholics Instagram page. There's already 1,000 people waiting to get in on just this one gate for the Ichiro bobblehead. And I got burned last year on the fucking Nelson Cruz bobblehead in Seattle because I thought we could just stroll in a couple hours, you know, like an hour beforehand. Nope. They do ins and outs. So everyone goes in, grabs their bobblehead, pieces out, and then gets drunk at a bar and then comes back to the game. And so, which is smart, and but I got mine. I waited in line for 30 minutes. The gates open.
Is it a Mariner or a Marlin?
It's both.
There are two?
There are. It's one statue. It's one base with two Ichiros on it. So apparently this bobblehead is like this new crazy bobblehead because it's Ichiro and Mariners, Ichiro and
Marlins.
So
Marlins.
One's commemorating, I think, 11 straight consecutive seasons of 200 hits record, and then one's commemorating the 3,000 hits that he got in the Marlins uniform. But Japanese media everywhere, having a good time. Mm. So I just take my bobblehead. This is the first time I've been to Safeco in the roof's covering the field. So
yes,
it gives it kind of a domey, you know, feel. It's a whole different ballpark at that point.
I have been there because it's also like there's no warmth. There's no warmth. It's not a contained.
No.
That's like it is.
It's just industrial. They
it's just a tin shed. It is literally like it's a giant tin shed because it's like I remember I saw opening day up there. I went for a weekend 2000. Guys, I'm just going to tell you, when you have a retractable roof stadium, you make a stupid assumption that it will be warm or climate controlled inside a dome stadium. This just has a roof. That's like saying it's like imagine, you know, like when you were a kid and there was like some, you know, rusty shed out in the back, it's just a roof over your head. If it's raining and cold, it's raining and cold. You're just under, you know, you can hear under the corrugated metal, but there's no wall stopping. Like you're right on Puget Sound or whatever the hell.
Yeah, all that wind's whipping up. And so I took my bobblehead. I went straight to the top row and I sat there. Top row even. They just got double plated like plexiglass.
Yeah.
So you're actually still, you know, you can turn around and look right into the sounds. The water's, I'm looking out. It's classic Seattle rain where it's just annoying. I was smart enough where I brought a raincoat with me.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there. I'm still 2 hours before the game even starts. Well, I realize we've got Ebbets Flannels, which we've had Jerry Cohen, the president of Ebbets Flannels, based in Seattle. Their headquarters is, I realize, a half a mile. And I'm like, well, there's ins and outs. I got 2 hours before the game starts. I'm going to go down there and see. Like,
wow.
Unlike what I did with Bob, I should have emailed ahead of time. So I walked down there. He wasn't there, but I get a firsthand glance at the store, which was incredible. And again, there are pictures on our Instagram and Twitter, but I took a picture of the hat wall, and it's just every hat I would want. I actually own several of them.
Yeah.
So I was like, should I get another one? It's kind of old now. But saved my money. Luckily didn't drop. It's easy to drop a couple $100 there pretty quickly.
Sure.
And, so then I'm like, I'm going to head back to the stadium. I go in there and I realize I've got my audio recorder. And this will be on next week's episode. I will edit in some. I did a bunch
of interviews.
I interviewed people about, you know, just Mariners history, A-Rod and, you know, Ichiro and Randy Johnson and their rankings and just what to do in Seattle and that sort of thing. So I had fun doing that, and I stumble across the, they've just unveiled the King Griffey Jr. statue finally. And it's right there when you walk in on Edgar Martinez Drive and, you know, right at the home plate entrance. And I look back and there's just this dude just smoking a huge blunt while his friend is just taking a picture. And he's like pretending he's handing Griffey the blunt.
Like that?
And we're 50 feet away from the gates to walk in, like security's. And so I have my camera kind of ready, and I go, excuse me. And again, this video is up on Instagram because I wanted to document this just for the average listener that's not in a marijuana friendly state. Washington, I think, is the most friendliest of the friendly. Dude, I go, hey, buddy, I go, can I talk to you? I just want to meet the man that just smoked a blunt with fucking King Griffey Jr.'s statue. And he just starts laughing. And I was like, what's your story, man? And like, we get to talking, just a really chill, cool dude. But I'm like, and I go, this is America. This is Mariners baseball right here. And I'm sure the Mariners
That's
hate.
That's the first stadium I ever smoked weed in was really? Field. Yeah, and that was the first time. I remember.
And this was 2000, too. This was
2000. 2000, absolutely.
This wasn't, but they were
that
like
behind like the scoreboard. There's one of those big, you know. It's like, and you, yeah, and it's like that's where I first found out that you could, if you got high enough, you could sort of see the future in baseball. I also once, I being high at Dodger Stadium, Ken Griffey Jr. was up, and I said it was like his second pitch of the at bat, and I was like, he's gonna hit a home run right now. And the very next pitch, it was jacked out of the yard. Question about the Ken Griffey Jr. Statue. Outside of Safeco Field, was he wearing a Cincinnati Red uniform? Because I think that would be hilarious.
No, he wasn't. He was wearing Jordans. The statue, he's got Jordans on. Or maybe they were the Griffies, but they look like the Jordan...
Jumpman.
They would have been the Jordan 10s. Whatever the... They look like the year that they did the Looney Tunes or the
Space Jam
ones. He's wearing those, but the cleat version of it. It's a nice-looking statue, though. Yeah, you know, I give them a lot of. They didn't fuck it up like some people's.
I gotta tell you, if I was a Cincinnati Red fan, I would be right now. I'd be creating basically like a shirt that you could put over the statue. I would get Cincinnati Red like almost like Velcro, like rip away, so you could like put it around. Like that would be my. You know how they keep messing around with the Hollywood sign every couple years.
Yeah,
Hollywood.
Like put the Bear Bryant jersey or the Scam Newton jersey on the Bear Bryant
statue.
Right.
I would do that. I would definitely do that.
But dude, a lot of respect for Mariners. Look, Seattle is rainy and all that shit and whatever. It's like expected. I saw the sun for 20 minutes total in the 48 hours I was up there. And you love it when it comes out. You're like, oh, look at you, sun. You're taking pictures of it, tweeting it, and all that kind of crap. But the setup, you got two stadiums. You got the CenturyLink Field and Safeco right across the street, right downtown, a mile's walk from downtown. You've got bars that line up and down the street everywhere.
Sure.
You've got in between the football and baseball stadiums, you've got, and I'm sorry, and soccer, because they put the soccer stadium in there in the football.
Well, why wouldn't you?
But there's bars anywhere you want to get, you know, sports memorabilia, I think a collectible store, more bars. There's a weed. There's a dispensary about a half mile south of the stadium. I stumbled across that randomly by.
It's recreational, right?
It's recreational. Absolutely. Right. I happened to stumble across that by just putting marijuana into my Google Maps. And
because, by the way, if you haven't been to Denver, I mean, you now have been to Washington. But, I mean, guys, when you go to a state that, you know, they've changed over the dispensaries from medical to recreational. I mean, you're paying some in taxes, but, you know, your price is going to be pretty much the same. The selections and everything.
Dude, it's four to, I got, it was, one place was four on special $6 pre-rolls that were good.
Right.
And, you know, I like sativa. It's more like the upper.
Yeah.
It's not a body. It's all like mental.
Yeah.
It's all upstairs. And like, it was great because I was staying at my buddy's place up there and I went to the store, I walk in, and I counted. There were 17 people in line on a Thursday afternoon at about 12:30 in the afternoon. And I look at the lady, and I go, I just want to get some pre-rolls, thinking I could just jump the line. Like
right.
They were waiting for some limited edition wax or just, I don't know.
There's a bobblehead. There's bobblehead weed.
It was nuts. I was like, what the, why are there 17 people in line here? And then I just looked back at the girl, and I go, It's 420. And I said it out loud. And everyone looks at me like, yeah. Of course it's 420.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, I should. That's right, 420. Yeah, it's like, yeah. We start chatting you up, guys, in, around me in line, since we're going to be here for 30 minutes. But their special was four pre-rolls for 12 or something. It was incredibly, you know, decent prices. And look, it's something, there's something to be said about going into the store and saying, I want to feel like this, or like my back hurts. Can I get the indica so I can just be knocked out in more of a physical thing instead of a mental? But, dude, I cleaned up my whole buddy's. I did his dishes. I was like cleaning up his counter. I was like, this weed's great. Look at all this shit I'm getting done. It's like fun cleaning up this apartment right here.
That's the good weed.
But yeah, so that was Seattle. The shows were great, and and then I went to a Padres game too. But we'll talk about that in the second half.
Second half coming up after this.
And guys, right, we'll be back.
My home in Norfolk, Virginia, California, home of mine. I straddled that Greyhound and rode him into Raleigh and on across Carolina. Had motor trouble to turn into a struggle
halfway. Halftime report.
All right, we are back. Eric is getting loud over there. I am getting quiet here. We're trying to assess the first half. Eric, what were your thoughts?
I thought it was interesting how much we talked about Dirk Nowitzki. That was like, it's one of our longer riffs on just the number of the show.
Anything German.
And German. It's about a flash forward. I'm very excited about Kansas City. I hope everybody comes out to see our shows. I'm looking forward to performing on a catwalk. And, and meeting the whole, spending some time with the whole Sheezer clan.
Oh, you're going to get to meet everybody. The family friends, Sheez. Family, pets, everything in between. Guys, that's Stanford and Sons this weekend, and we will be back with the second half right after this.
Put luggage in my hand, and I woke up high over Albuquerque on a jet to the promised land. Working on a T-bone steak, a la carte flying over to the Golden State. When the pilot told us in 13 minutes he would set us at the terminal gate. Swing low chariot, come down easy, taxi to the terminal zone. Cut your engines and cool your wings and let me make it to the telephone. Los Angeles, give me Norfolk, Virginia, Tide, 104-1009. Tell the folks back home, this is the promised land, cause then the poor boy's on the line. Working on a T-bone stage.
All right, so we're back. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
What we were saying about Seattle is, which, as with the hand and the heart, which is a
the
Seattle,
head and the heart.
The head and the heart, which is a Seattle band. Grew up with, I guess,
Adam Ray.
It's a great comic. But 30 miles east of Seattle is nothing, where no one lives. I mean, it's expanding and the suburbs are growing.
Yes.
But when you have sharp mountains and rivers and shit, you can't always put suburbs everywhere.
Right.
And there's a lot of limitations up there. In Seattle, but that's, look, all my family that lives up there, they love it because they go to Mount Rainier, they're hiking, you know.
It's always one of those things because Mount Rainier is like on the license plate. It's like, you know, it's like the state symbol of Washington. But there's a weird thing, and this is a very touristy thing to think. It's like, so when the sun goes down, you can't see Mount Rainier. Like, it's just so dark, and there's nothing around. There's no source of lights. There's no one like lives on the mountain. So it's not like dotted or, I mean, so it's just blackness. And it is.
If it's not already completely covered in clouds and not visible at all.
Right, right. But I'm saying, so at night, you just can't see it. But there's sort of a point where you're like, and maybe because of the Hollywood sign or whatever, there's a point where you just like, I looked at it, I guess, in a little bit too of a Hollywood way. And when I first went up there, I'm like, you know, that should be lit up at night. Like it's Fenway Park or, like a ski slope. But
that's,
like,
I love the, mountains at night ski is great. Like you pull into this ski town, you look up on the hill and you're like, oh, look at this. People skiing. You can see them actually ski.
Right.
You know, it's like, just throw something like that up there on Mount Rainier.
But they don't. They don't. I mean, I guess, you know, that's probably the right for them. But you just like, as an outsider.
Can we spell Washington and LED lights somewhere? On the
I
side?
Don't know. You know, and I'll throw this at you, especially since we're talking about travel. You know, the Michigan Wolverines, Jim Harbaugh and his Michigan Wolverines, they're in Rome, Sheez. They're in Rome. I guess they're going to go to the Vatican tomorrow as we're recording this.
Who pays for that?
Boosters? I don't know, like the boosters.
Charles Woodson split the bill for that?
Yeah.
That's got to be expensive as hell.
So he did a thing where there's the Trevi Fountain. It's a traditional to throw coins in a fountain, but not like in the American way where you make wishes. Evidently, if you throw one coin in the fountain, it ensures a return trip to the city. And if you throw three coins in the fountain, I think that's where the song three coins in a fountain is come from.
Never heard that song.
Right. But Steve Martin talks about it in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So that if three coins in a fountain means long life and a happy marriage, but Mr. Harbaugh, Coach Harbaugh, decided to throw. He turned his back, which I guess is traditional. He threw three coins and he wished for a championship, the highest one. And then he yelled at. He looked at. He saw an American couple and he was like, "Where are you from?" And they're like, "Syracuse, New York." And he went, "Syracuse, go blue." So the weird thing is, he sort of wished for a championship. But then he mentioned Syracuse. So weirdly, I'm just sort of wondering if Michigan Wolverine head coach Jim Harbaugh has maybe just accidentally wished a national championship on the Syracuse Orange by saying Syracuse, go blue, which also one of our colors is blue, although we're the orange, but we're blue and orange.
I'm trying to play this song. I thought I found it here. Hold on. Is this it here?
Three coins in the fountain.
Right.
Each one seeking happiness.
There you go.
This is the four aces, three coins and a...
Thrown by three right. Hopeful lovers.
Let's listen to these lyrics here.
In the fountain.
That's not too bad. Come on by. The four aces. Hold on one second. We're gonna take a pause real quick.
Great. We're good. Okay.
Okay. So you're thinking Syracuse might, you got a little extra love from Harbaugh randomly.
Just by randomly, he didn't know what he was doing. He might have accidentally wished some luck on the Syracuse Orangemen, which might be exciting. So that's just one of those weird things. Also, you know, since Jim Harbaugh was in Rome, you know that probably the SEC schools are all going to complain about that he's recruiting in Italy now. Like, you know, and all of a sudden, Saban and LSU will have to, we need to go to Italy. We need to go to Sicily. We need to go to the G7 conference. We need to go to Paris, France. We're recruiting we're Florida Gators. Welcome to Germany.
I'm just happy. I'm just glad that Syracuse fans are well traveled and clearly very educated. And they just.
That's right. Let's hear it for the Qs.
Let's go for the orange. Not men, the orange.
The orange, now the orange, yeah, that's true. What do you want to talk about, the dirt bike? You want to talk about Baumgartner's dirt bike accident?
I mean, look, if you're sponsored by Carhartt, I think that's actually written into his contract with Carhartt that he had to at least get into one ATV accident over the course of the four-year contract. So I think he was actually just trying to live up to his Carhartt deal.
I'm just sort of hoping this isn't a Jeff Kent. I washed my truck and I slipped and I fell and it turned out, you know what I mean? It's like players that end up, you know, there are so many players that cut their hands opening CD cases when there were CD cases. I think Bob Stanley from the Red Sox cut his hand with like a weed whacker.
It's the modern day drone injury. As you
right. The modern day drone. Right. Now we got the drones. Right. That's happening.
Look, Baumgartner's, when you go redneck, you can't. Like, I don't know how much money you can throw at a redneck. Like, the guy's still going to want to go fast. He's still going to want to smell diesel. I want to smell diesel fuel burning, okay? Whether that's in a boat, whether that's on an ATV, an enduro, off-road track.
I also got to say, people, we just saw Baumgartner's face on the television here. And I got to tell you, he's got some beard that's he's like trying to outdo Kershaw's bad beard. Like Kershaw's got that Amish, like he's Amish Tom Brady kind of thing, or Tom Brady's like hillbilly brother.
I feel like it was a darker color, but it's like a light. It's almost like you have like regular head hair on your face.
He's done something that made his face longer. He looks now like Scar from Lion King. Somehow he's made himself look like a cartoon lion.
Did you see that picture of his high school prom picture?
No, but I would love to see that.
Oh man,
especially since he's younger than me. So his prom picture has to be younger than me.
Yeah, dude, he's only like 27, I think. He's not old at all.
Right.
It's gonna so. From Seattle.
I mean, Tom Brady turns 40 this year, and I'm 5 years older than him, which means like we never shared a high school or college class.
That's just funny to. No, so then so I made it down to San Diego as I'm looking for this picture of
Padre game. We're talking Padre game.
Madison Bumgarner, yes, against the Marlins again. So I got my fill of Marlins and Ichiro this week. Toby went with me.
Yes.
And we, so I was at Madhouse last night. This was all yesterday. So I said, look, day game, Toby, look, you ever been to San Diego? He hadn't. He'd been as far as La Jolla, which a lot of comics have, but they've never been.
Oh, that's funny.
They've never been that extra 10 miles to go downtown. So went down there, got Chicago style Berkeley pizza, which is a good spot if you're in the Gas Lamp in San Diego. Check.
Yeah, but the Grassland is great restaurants.
Just beers, bars.
The other thing I gotta say, she's is like, and this is guys, especially if you're listening in Kansas City, and you ever come out to San Diego, there's a real difference. The one biggest difference in a weird way between San Diego and LA is the older women, because the older women, you know, women who are like over 40 in La Jolla. It's like they don't get the Botox. They don't get the plastic surgery. It's like there's a weird, like there's a natural beauty that's happening to the, you know, it's like both women in both older sets of women do yoga and eat healthy and et cetera, et cetera. But the LA people, they do more cosmetic surgery. They do more Botox. And so there's a weird fake plastic feel. And
yeah.
Like when you're like, why do I, it's like, where is it? You're like, why are these La Jolla women so weirdly, these older La Jolla women feel so appealing? And because you're like, oh, it's a natural beauty. They're not plumping up their lips and freezing their heads.
They're not trying to like follow the trends of the Kardashians and look like their daughters, you know? Like,
right.
Like, that's what kills me. Like the young women out there that are just, like, you don't need to be getting plastic surgery, one, really, probably ever, but definitely not when you're 19 or 20 years old. Where do you go from? You can't go anywhere else, you know what I mean? Like, what is there, like, the double plastic surgery you now get when you're 40, or I don't know.
I once dated a postal inspector from Santa Clarita who went to Syracuse when I went there. We were about the same age. I want to say I was probably about 29, 30. She had gotten She'd gotten Botox, so you couldn't you couldn't tell when she was angry with you. Oh my God! So this is Madison Baumgardner's prom picture, guys. You should all Google Madison Baumgardner's.
I'll tweet it out. It'll be on our Twitter.
He's definitely wow. I mean, you do not trust that kid at all. I would not trust that kid I wouldn't trust that kid to bust my table. Never mind deliver food.
It's trouble. It's a bigger woman, which, you know, he's a lot of man. So, you know, you need a bigger woman.
I don't even think that's, you know, it's just like that it's a cute girl that's cutely,
yeah,
you know, for the age, you'd say plump.
For West Virginia or
she's
wherever.
Thick.
But Bumgarner is wearing all black, like he just got done murdering somebody.
Yeah.
And with the black, short black hair. And look, my prom picture, I've got blonde hair and just look like a complete douchebag. I look like an extra from like the Backstreet Boys or something. This was late
90s. Nobody looks good in their prom picture. Everyone's making some mistake. It's like you have the matching. You decide to be the guy that has the matching cummerbund with the girl, and it's a mistake if you do it. It's a mistake if you don't do it.
Ingram looks great in his. He's got two prom queens because Ingram was our prom king, right?
Yeah.
And so
he's a bigamous prom. He's the prom he's king. Queens.
They read the wrong name. At the halftime ceremony, so everyone's shocked. They're like, "Oh, so and so."
It was like the Oscars, like Moonlight.
It was exactly so.
La La Land.
There was a thing where tragically, one girl in our class had gotten run over at our senior skip day party out in the field. Because when you're laying in tall grass and people are driving around, you don't, they don't see you. And so she almost died, luckily didn't. And so, but already an amazing, incredible person, probably a lock to win anyway, regardless of overcoming a life-threatening senior skip right. day tragedy. So it was like, dude, she's got it. She's a lock to win. So they go to announce the name. It's a different name. Everyone's like really confused. But the high school senior in me, in my head, was like, oh, that girl's got huge tits, so maybe a lot of the freshmen voted for her. You know, like
everyone's
yeah,
it was an all boys Catholic school. There was no voting for prom king.
So everybody got to vote. It was an all school vote. Rick being Rick, I mean, he had that thing on lockdown. Like you would have had to have been Peyton Manning to beat him thrown a lot of touchdowns or whatever. Because Rick just vice president
student
for
council,
our class,
vice yeah, president, student, sure, yeah.
all the. Pep rally shit and all
everybody
that stuff.
Everybody knows Rick.
And so then they come back. Sorry, I keep nailing these fucking springs. So they come back after the game, or it was like halfway through the third quarter, like in between the third and fourth quarter. They go, this just in, apparently there was actually a tie for homecoming queen. So then they brought in the one girl that had originally won. But they never really came out and said that we said the wrong name. But clearly, that's what
all right,
happened.
Now, when you say she came out, was she, in my head, she's in one of those halos and in a wheelchair.
It had been like 7 months at that point.
All right,
point,
so she had survived.
Yeah,
like she was just, I mean, all right, I need to ask the cruel questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
Was she in any way disfigured that was visible in, like, if you put her in a prom dress, do you know something fucked up happened to her?
You know what? I can't remember. I'm gonna have to say yeah. I mean, at some level, because I know that there was some major surgery. So maybe some like under.
But I mean, is there a back brace? Is there
no?
So like, there's no like
at this point.
Because I'm
know,
telling you, like the movie version is this girl is like
limping.
This girl's
in
like
the halo.
She's in the halo. She's in a wheelchair. It's like every time you see her, she's been hit by something else. You know what I mean? Back brace, halo, wheelchair.
Like,
and
just
she keeps
getting no breaks for like somehow
right.
still falling over in the hospital while she's rehabbing.
And like when the credits roll, it's like the last thing you see is like her in a wheelchair and someone lets go of it and then she goes down like a long flight of stairs.
Yes.
And while the credits roll, you just keep seeing her hit and bounce and hit. And
no,
bounce.
I think at that point, I mean, this would have been what when's homecoming into October. Senior skip day was what, May? So yeah, she had time to recover. As far as I remember, yeah, nothing right. to visit.
A likely story. But, I love the story of the tying prom queens.
So Rick's up there, and he's the one guy that looks great. He's standing there. He's got two prom queens on his shoulder. He's got his little crown on and everything.
That's right.
Being Rick. That was a weird senior. Did you guys have a senior skip day in high school?
No.
Or senior? So for some reason, the seniors, your junior year of high school, the seniors get out 2 weeks earlier than everybody else.
Yes, we graduate early as well.
And so... So when that happens and the school's yours now, that
because the juniors are now, you're taking over. I get it.
Yeah.
The
so that,
attraction
so
seniors.
That Monday, it's like no school for the seniors. And it was like this big unwritten thing. They were like, you gotta like your absences, no matter if they are excused, will be counted as unexcused if you miss school on Monday, even with a note. Cause everyone,
that's what this is what the juniors do.
Yeah. And so all the teachers are coming at us like, you know, like we know you guys are all skipping. So even if you have an excuse, we know it's bullshit. Because everyone's skipping.
Who gives a shit?
Right, exactly. That was their way to try to police it. So that Sunday night, we go out. We're like, you know, this is, you know, pre-cell phones, just to get that cliched thing out. So this is 99.
Right. You're and partying like it's 1999.
Oh, dude.
In 1999.
In 1999.
You're the class of 99. Oh, you're a class of 2000.
No, 99.
You're this the class. Okay, I got you.
Yeah. They hadn't quite got to the 99 play it, that song on repeat. That came 9 months later. When the ball
you're
dropped.
Saying because it's 1998 because you're the seniors. This is the class
yeah.
of 98 is graduating.
Yes.
You are now the class of 99
yeah.
senior.
No, yeah. So I did. I had a mess. Yeah, you're right. So it would have been the spring of 98. And so we got nowhere to go. We got a couple troublemakers in our class, and there's some possible. So we had this one guy just drove out in the middle of nowhere, found a field, clipped the gate.
Yeah.
Opened up the gate and then just flooded everybody in. But yeah, we'll finish the story on the back. We're going to take a break.
Fourth quarter coming up. Stay upset.
Yep.
Mother died every night.
things going on. You know, my Celtics, Isaiah Thomas lost his sister, 22-year-old, in a car crash, tragically, which is a tough blow for any family. Then he had to go play games one and game two. The Celtics lose both game in one and two. The number one seed is now down, lost their home court advantage. Isaiah Thomas has to go to back to Washington to bury his sister, then comes back. They win game three in Chicago. They win game four in Chicago. Now
Derrick
it's all
Rose
tied up.
Shows up for some reason at the game.
Nobody. Derrick Rose. Yeah, it's like there's something going on, and then there's no home court advantage in the Boston Chicago series. It's interesting. What's your takes on playoff baseball? Basketball.
Well, the reason, and listeners, we jumped into this because Eric made the ridiculous statement that the NBA playoffs are boring. Did you say boring?
I actually said playoff basketball because remember, I watched like the first 20 minutes of the first round, well, whatever, round two of the, you know, the big dance. And then I turned it off and I watched more of the, in fact, I didn't watch a single second of the men's Final Four. I did actually watch, I watched the South Carolina.
Sportsaholics.
I watched the South Carolina.
The Mississippi State.
Right. I watched the women's final. Which was a good game. I watched that their coach like win her first title. She never won as a player.
Great
first
story.
One as a coach. She's going to coach the national team. But also, I just thought one of my biggest problems with basketball is always...
Is it too tight? Is it too much defense now? That's what I love the hustle. You actually finally get a sense of what $120 million can do on a court.
Right.
When they're trying, you know, the hardest. And that's, for me, that's it's as simple as that.
And once again, every year you go, oh, they don't ever care about the 82 games they play. They don't care about the 82 games they play. Baseball cares. Football cares. But regular season matters, except in basketball. And the other thing is, my biggest problem with basketball is this. If you're late, you were 2 hours early to the Mariners game, right? But if you were late.
Two and a half.
If you were late to that game, like I didn't get walk in opening day at Fenway Park, 2000. I missed the first, because of traffic and everything else. I didn't come in. We weren't in our seats till maybe the second and a half, third inning.
Now, is that a standard practice in Boston? Is that expected? Like half the crowd's
not.
I'm trying
to take my old high school ex-girlfriend. You know, we were friends. It's like you're trying to coordinate driving all the way into the city, picking up your friend. Then it's traffic, and you know, it's like
not
you're
getting
listening,
pussy.
You're listening
to puss?
No, I've Damn. Never. Damn, anyway, it's another story. That's another story. That's a whole different.
Well, I'm just saying, there's a traffic. You got games involved.
Right.
You never
it's also
know.
Early morning, so we end up. Carl Everett actually hits two. He hits two home runs, one from both sides of the plate on opening day at Fenway. But it's like it's also we miss. Like he homers in the first. He also homers in the third. But it's like in baseball, if you're late to a game, in football, if you're late to a game, in hockey, if you're late to a game, you could miss all of the scoring that happens. It's 3-0, 7-0, 1-0, and that could be everything that happens. You're late, but basketball is always about stacking cups. You watch the, come on, man. Do you give a shit? You turn on a game like, oh, the game's on. You're like, oh, it's 8-4. Oh, it's 10-2. It's not in third quarter. You basically watch. I watch NBA basketball in the third quarter, and you're basically saying, hey, the Celtics are down by 6. The Bulls are up by 12. The Spurs are down by 4. What's going to happen? It's almost like you handicap it. It's like when you're playing hoops and you spot somebody points.
Look, tonight, the game that was tonight was the closeout of the Portland Golden State series. And they were up at 12 to 40 something in the first quarter. At that point, I want to watch the game because I want to see them try to go for 200. But I didn't watch the entire game. But point being, that's entertaining. Just watching them run up at a full speed, pull up, you know, Golden State. That you know, they're.
Hey, I saw Kevin Durant and USA Basketball. I saw us beat France. I saw us beat another.
Okay,
country
okay.
In the
so
Olympics.
You went to the Olympics. Okay, yeah. Somebody here went to the Olympics, and one of us did not, and I was that person. But look, you know, you got to spend some bonus time in Rio too. On top,
I did. I was registered. I was diagnosed too drunk to fly, and I had to spend an extra 24 hours.
Now, was at any point Rio. Did you get? Did they threaten you or almost
no,
knock
every,
you out?
No, by the way, it was the most lovely.
Drag
I gotta tell you,
you
NBC couldn't be lovelier. All the people of Rio. I would like to apologize, Beatrice, if you're out there in Rio tonight with your lovely young son and your young husband. You're a beautiful young lady. I'm so embarrassed that you had to take my apparently drunk ass to the airport. She's our translator and sort of handler.
Oh, okay.
She's helping us through.
I've never had a handler.
All I had to do, people, I guess we've never told this story on the air. We've never told this story on the air. Guys, I go to the Olympics. I'm working for Leslie Jones because Leslie Jones is tweeting about the Olympics All of a sudden,
I forgot about that too. Like that was a spur of the moment thing. For
it was
you guys.
Basically like Leslie loves the Olympics,
and you had been on doing shows that's with her at that around sure, that right. time.
I was,
too,
I was opening for her in Vegas and stuff like that, and gone to the reason I have a passport is because I was opening for Leslie in Vancouver. Now remember, my passport's like 2 years old. I flew into Vancouver and I flew into Montreal, and I mean I haven't flown off the continent. Now I'm going to go to Rio because what happens is Leslie starts tweeting about the opening ceremonies. Her stylist, Brian, got her these crazy, like, red, white, and blue American flag spandex. Like, she's putting on, like, she's sort of live streaming the NBC Olympics.
And she would pick a sport and go with it. Like, didn't matter what
right.
it was.
And I'm telling you, so it's like, so, and then she's getting, like, the great women's team for beach volleyball. They start becoming Twitter friends. And then it's like the women's field hockey, and she becomes friends with the
swim team. Oh, yeah, it was like Nomar's wife and her partner, right?
Wasn't that
Misty May? Not Misty May.
No, right.
Yeah.
The tall
blonde one.
What I'm saying
is the tall blonde one. Yeah.
By Sunday, this didn't go viral. This went like mainstream media. Like people are suddenly on Sunday. I'm just on the internet, and you're like, it's more fun to watch Leslie Jones watch the Olympics than it is to watch the Olympics. Like that's on the Huffington Post. That's on like BuzzFeed or even the New York Times.
And you're like, Leslie, you're on.
I don't even say that. Then so she calls me Sunday night and she's like, dude, NBC just asked me if I want to go to Rio. And she's like, no, I don't. Because there's the Zika, there's the crime, there's the violence. Remember, like it was the big scareway. And I'll tell you this.
Unfinished rooms with no locks, no power.
That is all, by the way, it's all true. It's all true. The very first thing we went to, the very first thing I saw was the gymnastics all-around final women's. We saw Allie and Simone win the silver and gold. The very first picture I have is basically Simone on a balance beam. But we are in like, we're in basically like, one of those like, we're in what would be a corporate suite, but it is also unfinished. You can see the plugs and the drywall is up and it's just a primer white, but the plugs are like not finished in the wall. You can see that they still need, you can see that everything still needs a couple months of finished up touches. But
it kind of reminds me like when you go to like the corporate suite at a Clippers game and it used to just be chairs, and you go to the corporate suite at a Lakers game and it's the same room, but then all of a sudden there's a buffet there and everything's nice and sweet. It was kind of like that version, but right. like with the logic.
And it's already like your mind's blown because it's like, that's Nadia Comaneci right there. And that's Hayes. I just walked past Bart Connors and like Hoda, the drunk lady from the late Today Show is there.
Yeah.
And then it's like you end up meeting Leslie. We go to the NBC production facility, which is a gigantic space, and this is where all the media is in this gigantic, it's not even a warehouse, it's like a building of warehouses where all the world's media has little sections, gigantic hangar areas where right. they are. And the NBC crew is basically following Leslie around with a camera. And we meet Mary Carrillo in a green room, and they hit it, a tennis player and great announcer, Mary Carrillo. And the NBC crew wants to take Leslie around a tour of the studio and the facilities in the cafeteria and where Bob Costas is doing his late night show. And all of a sudden, Dan Patrick just walks around the corner, and Leslie's just like, I love you, Jim Lampley. So she's calling Dan Patrick Jim Lampley, and this is all on camera. And then and then we meet we actually meet Simone and Allie, the gymnasts, and we meet Bella Caroli, the famous the guy
coach,
who carried
the coach.
The gymnastic coach who coached Nadia Comaneci, Mary Lou Retton.
Anytime like someone plays you on SNL sketch, which that happens,
right.
You're
right.
You're,
and then Leslie does a
good
cartwheel for Bella Caroli. That's on Twitter. We then go to the swimming. We get to sit with the swim team.
You're like, we get to do the cupping on Michael Phelps's back.
I have pictures so close that you can see the cupping. We get to see we see Ryan Murphy win backstroke. We see the other Simone win. She wins gold in the water. Then we see I just lost his name. Phelps. I have pictures. I'm like 8 feet away, hanging over. No one's closer to Michael Phelps than me. He's just won his 22nd gold medal. He actually beat Ryan Lochte. One of the people who brought us over, invited us, was Gunner. The guy's a very lovely young swim team member. And you might know him as one of the Lochte Four, one of the two guys that wasn't allowed.
Robbery/assault gun.
Right,
thing.
Right. So they got pulled off a plane.
Forgot
now,
about
interestingly,
that.
The day before, I got pulled off. I was not allowed. I was in the Rio airport with a gurney.
So wait, did you happen the next day after the Lochte thing?
No, I happened the day before.
Okay,
I actually happened the day before. It's
like we could have blamed it on
when
that.
When Ryan Lochte when Ryan Lochte's news happens, I can't even tell you. I was just like, I had this weird sense of relief that no one else in the world had, which was like, oh my God, I'm not the only person who fucked up in Rio. Like Ryan Lochte, who's much bigger than me. Like the, in fact, the only problem that the
I did, I actually did. There's a Sportsaholics video I did for Ryan Lochte. It's a Summer's Eve douche commercial for Ryan Lochte. It's on our fan page.
That's what I'm saying. And Ryan had dyed. I mean, Lochte had dyed hair. Gunner couldn't have been nicer. We couldn't see the future because this was like the first night we were there. And every day was. I mean, Harrison Barnes of Team USA asked Leslie for a picture. Anyway, to get to the story, the only thing I have to do the last day is get on an airplane. I have to be ready in this. We're staying at
what time's your flight, first of all?
The flight is at 10 at night.
At night.
I have to. Here's the goal, people. All I have to do is be downstairs in the lobby of my hotel, packed and ready to go, to get in a car to go to the airport at 5 p.m. 5 p.m. I can sleep in all day if I want. I've had the time of my life. I have traveled the streets and subways.
For me,
and
that just allows you all day to build up anxiety about missing
your
flight.
No, not a problem, because it's like I start. Guys, I'm not staying at a 5-star hotel. This is like an 11-star hotel. It's the Palace Copacabana. You're right on
the... You have a handler. You already mentioned that you have a handler.
Right. I mean, we have a producer and a translator that goes with us everywhere. The highways of Rio have a special green-painted line that's the Olympic lane. Like, we have a carpool or high-occupancy vehicle lane. They have an Olympic lane. You have to have tickets or passes.
So you got like that Blackwater in Iraq, you know, the private security where they get the Hummers and they're just ramming. Yeah. You're like, get out of the way.
Right. Green pass, motherfuckers. Rio is amazing. It's an amazing city. I mean, I can also say in some ways, like, well, how's Rio? I'm like, I didn't necessarily go to Rio. I went to the Olympics at Rio because everything they tell you, because we were scared. Like, I'm wearing like all black. They're like, don't dress like an American. But then you're at the Olympics and people are, these guys from the Netherlands are wearing like matching orange suits. There's six guys in Union Jack blazers walking down the street.
And I can't even like put a flag on.
You can't. Leslie and Brian, her stylist, are in full red, white, and blue. Like you'll see me. You'll see me in the first. I get on camera a little bit, like at beach volleyball at the.
Seen pictures on your Facebook. There's some screenshots.
Of you. Right. Yeah. People just say, like, I just saw you. I'm watching the Olympics, and there you were. But like the first night, it's like Leslie and Brian are just red, white, and blue to the teeth. And I'm just like, I'm like Johnny Cash, all black. Like, it is just, you
like
know.
Like, Leslie Jones and the Unabomber with,
Yeah, absolutely. And then I lost both pairs of glasses.
Just so you know, every time that hits the table, it does it. No. Like when you set the beer down, it rings.
We're going hands-free, guys.
Yeah. But try to keep the, because it rings the little things in the.
Guys, I had all day. I woke up. They have a free breakfast. I'm having the time of my life. I'm having watermelon juice. I'm having the best orange juice this side of Trader Joe's. And also, it's an open bar after breakfast is served, so I keep an orange juice. You get a little vodka. It's legal to drink on the streets of Rio. So I'm like, basically, what I have to do today, it's 11 o'clock in the morning. I have a screwdriver to go. I'm talking to Sean White, the snowboarder and skateboarder, and his lovely manager, who's also given me the address to the Haviana flip-flop store, which is like, hey, this is a great place. Buy a bunch of these flip-flops.
That's
signature.
Brazilian, right. Aside from hot asses, that's their greatest export.
Right. And so it's like, hey, you can buy a bunch of souvenirs cheap, you know, get them for all your friends and family. So it's also, I have all day, you know, this is one of those things like Al Michaels has having breakfast behind me. You know what I'm saying? It's like Dan Patrick and Michael Tirico from, because he was at Syracuse. He was a sports guy in Syracuse when I was at Syracuse. And I was able to talk to him about that. I'm having the time. I'm going to walk
down. It's a who's who's a sports talker. You're in Rio. You're having a couple drinks, some cocktails,
right,
screwdrivers.
And, and Mary Carrillo, actually, Leslie did it. We did a wonderful thing because Leslie and Mary just hit it off so magically. That my pitch was, hey, you and Mary get together and we'll go and sort of see the misfit toys of Olympic sports. Like, cause, and Mary does announcing.
So Leslie, this is like indoor cycling.
We went to the velodrome. We saw indoor cycling. We saw trampolining, and we saw women's judo. We went to.
So anything that might be cut from the Olympics next time, you're going to go see it right now.
Smaller. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. For sure, for sure. Like Uzbekistan and those countries are all represented.
What do you call it? Table de mesa. Ping pong. I saw a little bit of ping pong.
I was like, table de mesa?
Yeah. I mean, mesa, whatever. It's tennis de mesa.
Okay.
So now it's the last day. I'm on the street. You can buy, I have a great, these are fake gold medals that are like, they're replicas, they're for kids. I'm buying fake gold medals on the street from peddlers. And I'm going to the Olympic Mega Store.
You're supporting the local economy is all you're doing.
Right. I go to the Olympic Mega Store. I buy a bunch of...
benefit from that. I got a great shirt I still wear all the time.
Right. So I'm getting the souvenirs. I'm like, something from my dad. Here's for friends. This person. The other thing I'm going to do is one of the nights it was so much traffic one night coming back that we literally just said, hey, let's just walk. It's faster to walk. And it was a long walk. But on this long walk, because we're on the Copacabana Strand, we see an Irish pub. And I just think, hey, my last day, why not? It's really funny to go to an Irish pub in Rio de Janeiro. So I'm like, I'm going to walk to the megastore. If the thing's close, I'll go and have a shot and a beer. And it turned out it was right across the street from where Ryan Seacrest and the Today Show were shooting their stuff. So I go across the street. I have a shot and a beer. And I sit with some locals. It's like the Brazilian women's team was playing soccer, and you know the locals and the bartenders.
They were involved. Passionate. Yeah, they care.
And you know there were great things. You're talking to some locals, and like a guy. There was a when I was at Team USA basketball. You know how they put people up on the Jumbotron.
Right.
Well, they put this kid, a young guy, up, and he has a black hat with a. You can just tell there are interlocking letters, like a Yankee cap, but it's clearly not the Yankees. It's a sports team that you don't know because you're not from Rio. But as soon as they put this guy with the hat, literally everyone, boo. It was like he had it was a Cowboy, Laker, a Yankee hat. Like this guy was clearly
that guy.
But right. But this is like the
Brazil version of a Yankee fan.
The Favelas, right? And I think the team is called the Favelas, and that's their soccer team. And this logo, this is like I drove past the stadium later. And so, you know, you get some of that inside stuff.
So that's like the gangsters team then? Isn't that what they call the slums?
Maybe it's like the, you know, maybe it's like the NWA hat, you know what I'm saying? Or the, you know, the Raiders hat or the White Sox.
That's the Raiders.
I guess, yeah.
I get that vibe.
Then I said, hey, Sean White's manager, where's this Javiana store? If it's on the way, hey man, I'm going to, wouldn't you know it? It's a couple blocks off. It's just a little bit out of the way. I do that. I buy a Brazilian flag on the street because I want to wear it as a cape because people are wearing
the
like
economy.
Right. People are wearing. I want to wear a Brazilian, and I'm walking back. Guys, I had a couple beers here and there. I did it again.
Yeah, it's all right.
I went into the ocean. I went into the ocean real quick. I was just going to get wet but somehow, guys, when I came back out.
Were you going back to the hotel then?
I went back to the hotel.
Okay, I was going
to
say, you were going to get on a plane with ocean stink? That's kind
no,
of.
No, no, no. Because okay, it's like, so okay. Now it's like, by the way, I get to the Javiana store. I buy a bunch of Javianas flip-flops. Then I'm like, you know what? I'm always going to be in Rio in the Olympics once. I'll never go to the Olympic mega store in Rio again. So somehow the spirit of my mother, I just started like, I literally just like, let me just get another small T-shirt. Here's a large.
You brought back a pile.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, I still have it. I still have gifts to send out. I mean, I have shot glasses. I have pens. I have, when am I going to be here again? Pins and things like that. So then I walk back to the, now I have bags. I walk on the beach. I mean, it's the first time walking the beach. You know, you take off your shoes, your feet is in the water.
Mm-hmm.
I go back to the, now guys, the Copacabana Palace, when I'm telling you, it's like, it's not a 5-star hotel. It's like an 11-star hotel. I had one
with
of those
handlers.
I had like a paperback Game of Thrones book that I have on the corner of the tub. Because you're in Rio at the Olympics, you have a tub and a rain shower. So sometimes you're just going to, hey, I'm at the Olympics, going to soak in the tub. You know, you just throw in the book. Guys, the maids would come in and almost like alphabetize your toiletries. And I also see that my book that I just threw on the side of the tub is now squared to the tub. And wouldn't you know, there's a complimentary bookmark of the Copacabana Hotel that they just gave me.
They threw right in there for you? Nice.
So now I'm like, I'm just going to rinse off. I've gotten the ocean. I've checked off.
So you've had four drinks. You went shopping. Right. You're back at the hotel and that's, you're on
and
your
I'm
way
gonna,
to the
I'm going to, I run to the ocean real quick and I come back. I actually lost my glasses in the ocean, but I'm like, it's no problem. I have a backup pair. I go back to the hotel. All I have to do, it's like 4:30. I have a half an hour to pack. I'll rinse off the ocean. I'll get dressed. I'll pack everything. I might be late by a minute or two. Like I'll be 5:02, 5:03.
But you're not. Yeah, no one's missing an international flight. You're there early.
But I hit the shower, and when I come out, cheese. All of a sudden, it was like I got roofied. I don't know if it was, I didn't eat enough, a sunstroke. I don't know if it was like something in the, you know, the water's polluted, and somehow I just got a weird. Because I was now
thing.
I was like blacked out, like roofied for the next 5.5 hours. I couldn't pack anything. I fall down twice. I got a huge bruise on my back. I face planted. I couldn't protect my face when I fell. My replacement glasses hit. The lenses shoot out. My glasses break open. Now, guys, I travel really well now. I know exactly, like, my contacts are always in the exact same pocket of the exact same bag, but I can't tell you, I can't put contacts in because I can't hold anything together. The phone starts ringing because now I'm late. I'm like slurring into the phone. I know, I'll be right down. But I'm also like, I know what I have drank alcohol during the day, but I'm not, like, I wasn't trying to get drunk. I'm not trying to tie one on for the flight.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like, and I know what I drink and consumed for the day. And like, this is crazy. I've never been like this before. So then there's a knock. It's now 5:20. I'm late. The lovely Beatrice is there. She has two bellmen. And then the bellmen, literally, they just throw everything. Everything I have in the room just gets thrown into bags. They have to give me two laundry bags, compliments of the hotel. And they just put me on they put it all in a luggage cart. And now it's like, I'm a walking mess. But it's an hour ride.
So they drag you. They just kind of throw you into the airport. So you're really kind of set up to fail.
And it's an hour ride from the hotel, from the Copacabana to the Rio airport is an hour.
Okay.
Now I'm going to tell you, I don't remember any of that trip. And all of a sudden, when I get out of the car, I'm like, I'm wearing some Batman flip-flops that I had gotten at Target before the trip, which I like. And I get out of
they disappear on you're like, oh, I haven't seen these in 2 weeks.
No, I bought them fresh for the thing. Oh, but when I get out of the car, all of a sudden it's like, you know, when you just step on a flip flop wrong, and all of a sudden you just
you slip because there's no traction.
And then you ripped it, and you just blew out your flip flop. Oh
yeah, the cheap ones.
So Beatrice is like, I think you might be too drunk to fly, and I say exactly what I'm like. I literally say, and I'm a mess. I am empirically, I am blackout fucked up. But the thing is, I don't know why, so I say what anyone in my position would be like, I can't be drunk. Now I go into I'm in an international Rio airport, and now it becomes like the movie Brazil, if you guys ever saw it, with Terry Gilliam and Robert De Niro. I'm now in a foreign airport, and they start taking me down some concrete corridors. Guys, I'm in a part of the airport you know you've never been to before. And I get taken to this concrete room. I get put on a gurney. They put an IV in me. And then Beatrice is like, the pilot's going to come in like an hour, and he's going to decide whether you're too drunk to fly. I'm like, I can't be drunk. I can't. Now, remember, one glass is in the ocean. One glasses are broken. I don't have contacts in. So weirdly, getting flight delayed was a blessing because I didn't want to just fly internationally for 14 hours, not be able
all
to see.
All fucked up and everything. Right. But you were anyway. But
an hour goes by. Now Beatrice basically puts me to another handler, another lovely gentleman, a lovely man. I don't even remember his name. They take me to, they're like, look.
Second handler.
Right. I've been passed off now. Now here's where it happens. Never discussed this before. So basically Beatrice is like, we're going to give you this guy. What we're going to do is we're going to put you up in a hotel for the night, sort of near the Olympic Village. You're going to go to a different hotel. We're going to do this all again in 24 hours. I'm like, okay. I'm like, I can't be drunk. Guy takes me. It's like, now this is sort of like, what ends up happening is I sort of stay in like a 4-star detention center. I mean, it's a really nice hotel, but now.
So you've gone down 7 stars in your lodging.
You would have been happy to stay there, but also now under the turn, it's like, it was about, I sleep for a couple hours. At 2:30 in the morning, I wake up. I have to check my bags. I pack everything correctly. I have everything. I mean, I want to make sure I had my passport and contacts.
You've already fucked it up once. So you're I can't fuck this up again the second time.
I mean, there's beer, like, you know, there's a bar in the, you know, a mini bar. And I'm like, hey man, whatever just happened, I'm not about to have a high, even to like to decompress. I'm like, I don't know what just happened, but I'm not to mess it up again.
Plus you're like, haven't been in the States in 10 days. You've tried to get back. There's nothing worse than like, oh, I'm going to be home in 48 hours.
Now you're like, totally isolated. Like, you don't know anybody. I don't know anybody in Brazil anymore.
Right.
Leslie's on an international. Leslie and Brian are flying.
All your friends are gone out of the country.
And let me tell you guys, everybody speaks Portuguese. The TV channels aren't even trying to cater to the American audience. And you're alone. And about 8 o'clock in the morning, I go down just to like get water or, you know, early breakfast or something. And there's a lovely young man from NBC who's basically I have a watcher in case I need anything. And every hour or two, they switched out that person I have a minder who's in the lobby. And all night long, all day long, every 2 hours. And like the guy who was there at 8 was like there at like 3 PM because they were on shifts. And you're just like, I don't know if the head of NBC Olympics knows that I met my name, but he knows like Leslie Jones's writer was designated too drunk to fly, and we had to put him up for another night, you know?
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well,
now you learned your lesson when you travel. Yeah. Just, you know, you just...
I'd like to say to NBC, I'd like to apologize. Lorne Michaels, I'm very sorry. I'd like to, you know, everything. It was a time of my life, and then I learned one of the more valuable lessons of my life is, guys, I failed at the Olympics. I lost at the Olympics. There, yeah, I've told the
you
story.
You got a bronze.
I didn't expect to tell that in the fourth quarter.
Hey, whatever. It's all good. And that's... you know, we'll just call that the quarter. I mean, that's a great story right there. And then
we went a little long.
Well, no, it's all good. We're still well. We've done way longer shows than this. And guys, remember this weekend. So if you're listening the first day, or it's going to be tomorrow, or even tonight in Kansas City, Stanford and Sons. That's the 27th, 28th, 29th, Thursday through Saturday. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. I think they're 7:45 and 9:45, but. Come on out. It's going to be Eric and I, Eric's first trip to Kansas City. Tweet at us if you have any suggestions. Like I said, we're going to go to the baseball museum and do that kind of stuff. But guys, come on out and say hi. And yeah, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Eric Marino. This is John Sheezer. By the Wu-Tang name generator, he's Phantom Pupil, and I'm Expert Bandit. This has been Sportsaholic, and this is a train whistle. Stay up.
Yeah.